Hey, everybody. It is the Roller Up the Barrel Vintage Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Teen Heartthrob Barrel Roller. Oh, thanks for joining me again on this beautiful day. Oh, I just turned it up so everybody can hear me. On this beautiful day, it's Saturday. You're hearing this on Saturday if you chose to download it. So my guest and I got up real early this morning because we have lives we have to get to. Can't be messing around with this stuff in the middle of the day. Oh, on the phone with me, my first Bear Clan of Flat Rock, Michigan player. It's one of my favorite vintage baseball players. If I had to make a list, he'd be on it somewhere. It's Jonathan Flash Laura. Johnny!
Hello, sir.
How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. On this beautiful morning.
I hear it's pretty nice out, so
yeah.
I don't think it's going to get too hot today.
No, I believe it's supposed to be in the 70s all next week.
Well, that makes me feel good because I'm a little heated, man. The rolling of the barrels in the 90s, not fun. So
I bet.
So, Johnny, before we get going, I always like to get the personal stuff out of the way so then we can be professional and everything. So back when I did the Frankenmuth Festival, you and Tony Cannatella were a couple of the very few people I had help me out at all. And holy cow, you came up early and helped me set up the fields and stuff. And I was so stressed out and going crazy. And I just owe you two such a big thank you. And I just wanted to acknowledge it publicly, the help that you did do at the Frankenmuth Festival with Tony. So thank you, sir.
No problem. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. They were some very, very long days, but I did enjoy it.
And then also the other thing I need to address is you constantly hitting on my daughter. In retrospect, now hindsight 2020, Johnny, my daughter, with boyfriend right now, currently, I think there is a part of me with that would like to go back in time and give you my approval. Okay.
Good to know for the future.
Please save me and her, Johnny. I'll give you her number off the air. She'll never hear this. Okay. So, Johnny, vintage baseball, you're a young guy still. How old are you?
I'm 35.
You're not as young as I thought. You are getting old. Okay.
My body feels it.
Tell me your earliest memories of being a young whippersnapper with baseball coming into your life.
I started when I was 5 years old, actually. My dad coached for the city of Rockwood. And the 8 to 10 U, his team needed players, here and there. And what better way? All my brothers played. So it was just a natural way of life. We all had to play baseball, whether we liked it or not. we all had to try baseball. And since they needed players, my dad said, "You're playing." So I started when I was 5 years old and, been playing now for 30 years.
Did any of, obviously you did not, but did any of your brothers fight it? Like, they're not a baseball fan to this day because they felt like...
Yeah, my little brother. He was actually a really good pitcher, but it just was not in the cards for him. He did not like sports, but, you know, my dad was always, if you started it, you had to finish it.
Oh, so he finished and said...
That's it for me.
That's right. The world needs scorekeepers too, Johnny. Johnny, I just love seeing Johnny. I don't. I got to stop it because it's gonna. I'll say it 1,000 times during this episode. Tell them what they've won, Johnny. God, I used to say that to you all the time. So early on, you're playing the baseball. You did not fall out of love with it. You fell in love with it. Where do you go after that early stuff?
So I end up playing, obviously, middle school, high school. Had tryouts for semi-pro. End up getting hurt. So I ripped my bicep. And that was pretty much it for trying to make it anywhere. You know, once you get hurt, it's kind of hard to get back into it. So it took me about a year to get back into it. I still have troubles with my arm, but a few people don't know that. But I do, you know, would love to have another opportunity, but once you get hurt, it's kind of hard to come back from.
So let's play in fantasy land a little bit. Let's pretend your bicep does not rip. What were you looking to accomplish at that time?
I would have liked to. I would like to play semi-pro baseball and see where from there.
How did your high school career go?
So I actually did very well. I got asked to play varsity baseball when I was a freshman. And so I played JV, though, because I wasn't there just yet. And then my junior and senior year, my grandmother passed away. And it was kind of a difficult moment for me. So I just kind of fell out of baseball.
So you had a good relationship with your grandmother?
A very good relationship with my grandmother. She came from Germany, and we were very close. And when she passed away, it was kind of one of those things like we experienced together. And it was just, you know, with my dad coaching and stuff, we were a baseball family. And you know, when bad things happen, it kind of sets you back and you know, kind of fell out of love with it for a little while and didn't really want to do any sports.
Take a minute and tell me about your grandmother.
My grandmother was very old school, very, you know, to the point, direct. But she had our gold with everyone loved my grandparents. And they were just very, would give their shirt off their back for anyone.
And did she come directly from Germany or her family?
So she was, her family came directly from Germany. my grandmother was born over here, but both her parents were German.
Okay. So after high school and you're out of baseball and all that, how long does it take for you to get in to some sort of organized ball?
It took me about, I would say about almost a year and a half.
And, is that softball you're getting into or?
So I was actually playing hardball out in a wooden bat league in Lincoln Park.
Oh, how long did you do that?
So I did that for a total of 5 years.
Nice.
Yep. And then I was obviously playing that bad word that you just mentioned, softball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually, my buddies, you know, were playing out in Canton, Michigan, and they convinced me to come out and try it out. And then I got into tournament ball. So I ended up playing that for quite a bit and just been playing that here and there. And now I got recently back into it. And I'm also obviously playing as much vintage as I possibly can.
How has your arm reacted to all of this?
So it's been doing good. It is a little sore now. Been playing too many nights a week. I'm playing every night during the week except for Mondays.
You need to transition out of the outfield.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the time when you start looking at first base. So tell me how you come across vintage baseball.
So actually, I was playing a lot of softball, and I used to play with and against Bam Bam, Tony Catella. And he interested me in playing vintage baseball. Taylor was starting a team, and so he asked me to come try it out. And as soon as I tried it out, I fell in love with it.
So you had never seen anything until the Taylor Wolverines start?
I have seen it. I saw it at Greenfield Village a few times when I was younger. I would say probably about 11 to 13. I used to watch it at Greenfield Village, but I always thought it was, to be honest with you, I thought it was like a reenactment of the game. I didn't know it was actually serious, that people actually played to win as well. And, I just thought it was a reenactment, honestly.
You thought it was professional wrestling?
Yeah, pretty much.
You thought the winner was predetermined and the Harlem Globetrotters were going to win again?
Right. Yep. I figured, you know, the La-Di-Da's were meant to win at home and, you know, everything else. And during that time, the La-Di-Da's were actually a very, and they still are to this day, they were a very good team.
The question I'm going to ask is this, because it just lost my mind. I just lost it. There it is, gone, trying to grab it. You brought up Greenfield Village, and we're on the verge of the World's Tournament in a couple of weeks, where we're going to see each other in person and probably do some sort of very manly hug. Your grandfather donated that land. Tell me about that.
So he didn't donate all the land, but the back portion where the back field used to be, I don't know if you, about what, I'd say 5 years ago, there actually used to be another field in the back. And a lot of the land back there, my grandfather donated.
Now, are we talking about, what was that, Hawthorne Glade? Like, is that the name of it?
I'm not exactly sure what the name of that, what they actually
was
called
it.
Was
it the little field that was closer to the road? I think they've turned now into like a farm area thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it is now. It used to be by that little train track that would come through.
Yeah, I actually have never seen that field or play on that field. I just never had a game scheduled there. But yeah, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. The first year I played with Drovertown back there, it was kind of, you know, a surreal moment just playing on somewhere where, you know, my grandfather knew, and I never got to meet my grandfather. They passed away before I was born, so it was kind of a cool moment for me.
So you were playing with Droverton. Did you play with Droverton before Flat Rock started?
Yes. I actually, when I was with Taylor, you know, we weren't there for the World Tournament, and they needed some players, and Inc. Introduced us, and I ended up playing with them.
I don't remember Droverton at the Worlds back then. The memory's going. But anyway, they did quite well 2 years ago. But you were on the Flat Rock team, so you went to the finals. Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, you went to
yep,
the finals.
Yep, we went to the finals against Canton.
Them little rat bastard Canton corn checkers.
little speedy guys.
God, it's just, it drives me crazy.
To be young again.
Because I was never fast when I was young. I was like, oh, my God, I could be at my peak of my powers and still have nothing for that. Nothing. Okay, so Taylor, everybody from Michigan knows the story, so we don't need to get into that too much, but Taylor ends, you move over to Flat Rock, which most of Taylor did?
Quite a few of us.
I was looking at the Taylor picture this morning, and it's about 60 to 70% of us.
Yeah, there was, I believe six of us. That went over there,
and then you've been doing that. How long would has Flat Rock been going?
I believe 4 years now.
Okay, and so you guys are a competitive team, but you guys also have the balance of people liking you as well and not being afraid to schedule you, which is a balancing act that most vintage teams that do want to play competitively have to run across. Is where is that line, that magical line where you don't offend, but you still can go out there and try to win. Right?
Right. Right. Right.
Because anybody who says
doing it the right way.
Right. Anybody who says they don't want to win is a liar. So I've always
I don't think anyone plays the game to lose.
Yeah, I know people say, oh, I don't care if I win or I lose. No, that's not true. You're just good at handling losing. Okay.
Right.
And you can be good with handling losing. There's nothing wrong with that. But you want to win. Baseball is just one of those sports. What's the point?
I agree. And, you know, and, my dad used to say this saying, and I think it's a funny cliche, but he said, you know, you play a sport to win, no matter what it is or whatnot, and the only L's Laura C is in their last name.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into some vintage baseball talk. Tell me about some of your favorite places that you've played.
Hands down, Field of Dreams, obviously, is I think everyone's top-notch of playing at, just if you're a big baseball buff like myself, that's obviously one of the places that you would love to play, and I've been fortunate enough to play there quite a few times. Obviously, the festival was another great one that I loved. The Frankenmuth Festival was a great one that I loved playing at, not only just being hands-on a part of it, it was just, you know, you got teams from all over the place. And, to me, the vintage community has been more of a family like baseball, more than anything. And that's the kind of atmosphere that I liked playing at. And then another one was, is in Mansfield, in Shawshank. That was, another, I'm a big history buff, and, that was one that I loved playing at.
Did you take the tour?
I did not. Unfortunately, I would have loved to, but we were, talking too much and, getting to know them a little bit more and getting to know some of the people, and we just kind of ran out of time before the last tour went.
Getting back to the Field of Dreams, you made that trip. You've made one of the trips, at least, with your dad. How did that go?
That was a pretty cool experience. Just my dad coached for, 32 years of baseball. So, him being a big baseball guy and both my parents making the trip, that was probably one of the greatest memories baseball-wise with my father and my mom going. Just being there at a historical place, and we took the tour together as a family and everything else. So that was a pretty great memory with him that I can say that I always remember. And he also made me a special bat. When I was with Taylor, he made me a bat that's made out of Indian ink. And it's called a silver fox bat. So it has silver in the grain and Indian ink on the outside. So I got to use a custom-made bat when I was there that he made. So I kind of added a little extra, you know, memory of it.
Did you have a catch with him?
Say that again?
Did you have a catch with him? Did you play catch with him?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And actually, I got to pitch to him and let him hit there as well. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, my parents did the whole coming out of the corn thing together. And just the whole weekend with them was definitely a fun weekend with them.
Did you just get back from Gettysburg?
I did.
How did that?
I did a couple weeks ago.
How'd that go for you?
That was a great. That's one of my, I should say, easily top two places to play. Just being a historic, you know, buff, I do love history, and the history of, you know, the battlefield and everything else there. And shout out to Tom Duffy. He, schoolboy, he throws a amazing tournament, and just the atmosphere there is unreal.
When how hot was it this year?
Surprisingly, not too bad. The first day, it was a little warm. Not like 2 years ago when we were there when it was 100 degrees. but this year it was actually pretty nice. It was in the 80s. The first day it was 90. But the second day it was overcast. And it was in the 80s. And it was actually quite well.
Tell me about some of the favorite sites you've gone to at Gettysburg, not baseball
related. So we actually did the ghost tour. Oh. They have, you know, ghost tours all over the place, and a lot of us from the team decided to do it together. So I got tickets for all of us to go on the ghost tour, which was pretty interesting.
If you go back in the archives, Johnny, and listen to the episode with Adam McCulley, Squints from Saginaw Old Golds, I think he tells a ghost story from Gettysburg in there that him and his wife experienced in their hotel room, their bed and breakfast or whatever they were at. So go back in the archives, everybody, and listen to Adam McCulley's ghost story. You know, he wouldn't tell me where that place was so I could go stay there. That son of a bitch. All right. Love you, Adam. sorry about that. So, you know, you got the big places. You got Gettysburg, you got Field of Dreams and all that stuff. But do you have some memories on or off the field at just lesser known places or single matches or things like that?
The one place that I liked playing at when I was with Taylor, my dad used to umpire for Taylor, and I was able to reach 100 hits as a rookie at Heritage Park with my dad umpiring. Our last home match, at Taylor, and at that time, you know, we still had the cup, so it was a it was cool to, you know, reach an achievement that I heard is very difficult to do. But just kind of like a special moment to have our last home match and my dad there and make me a custom bat as well for that. So, and have my parents both there.
You know, you seem to be very close with your dad. Is that right?
Yes. I'm very, very close with him. I would say definitely hands down my best friend.
What are some of the things that you guys do together that's not baseball related?
So we do crazy stuff together. You know, just we do a lot of golfing. That's one thing that my dad loves to do is golf. So we do a lot of golfing together. And I just took my dad this year. He's been wanting to go on a fishing trip. So me and him went on a big fishing trip to Oscoda, Michigan together. And we actually did extremely well. We caught 80 fish.
Holy moly, that sounds illegal. But I don't know anything about it. I haven't gotten into the fishing yet. That's like my retirement party is like, when I get older, I'm definitely going to fish. I just haven't really done much up until this point. So I don't know anything about limits and licenses and all that stuff. Was it illegal, Johnny?
So you're allowed, like, we went bass fishing. Okay, that's really what we went for. But you're only allowed 5 per person per day.
So what you're saying is you were there 18 days?
No, so we didn't catch that many bass. We did catch quite a few bass, actually. But we also caught a lot of panfish as well. And I think you're allowed like 20 panfish per person per day.
Panfish? Are they called so that because you like, just take them and you put them in the pan?
You know, that's a good question for them. You know, that's like your bluegill, your sunfish, you know, your crappies and stuff like that. They consider them a panfish.
Huh. I remember catching bluegill when I was younger, and I thought that was a lot of fun because they fought pretty hard for being so little.
Yes, and them and perch. Those are definitely good fighting fish.
I don't know. I kind of found the perch to be wussies, the wussies of the fish world.
The smaller ones, yeah. So you get a good perch, and you know, they get picked on a lot by different fish. You know, pike, walleye, and all them like to, and bass like to take care of them.
I caught a shark once in the Florida Keys, and that was weird. That's a very powerful animal, even when you're holding it. It wasn't a big one. Obviously, I was holding it with my two hands in the air. But it just feels like all muscle. You ever hold a snake?
So, funny story about snakes. I hate snakes. So, no, I think I have held a snake maybe when I was in elementary school. You know, they do that whole show and tell, and they bring in, you know, like an anaconda or whatever it is, a boa. And I think that's the last time I've actually purposely held a snake. But I do not like snakes.
No, I only held a snake once too, and they just feel like they could do some damage to you. And they could, I mean, they choose to bite you. But they could.
And that's where my bad experience came in.
You got bit by a snake?
So my parents lived in the country, and they still kind of do in Rockwood. They have 11 and a half acres, and they got tons of snakes, you know, fox snakes and whatnot. And when I was younger, I picked up one. You know, I thought they were cool. Now I don't think they're cool, but I picked one up, and it bit me in the finger. And I was probably like 7 years old. And once it bit me, I decided that I absolutely hate snakes after that.
Yeah, they're scary. I don't like them. You ever see a snake in the water when you're swimming?
Yes.
Who wants that?
I have.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I try not to go in waters where I know that there's snakes.
How did you I know it seems obvious, but then it turns out not to be most times. How'd you get your nickname Flash?
A lot of people don't actually know this, but Ink, Jeff Hicks, actually nicknamed me Flash for my mouth. I used to you know, I have a little mouth on me, but, and talk a lot, obviously, still to this day, I'm a very talkative person, but, that's in reality how I got my name.
Oh, See, I didn't know that. I just assumed it was because you had speed, but then I thought, well, you're not really that fast. I mean, you know, to get that nickname, you're not like Flash Fast. To be called the Flash, you know,
those 90-foot bases are a killer. Especially, I could run the softball ones real quick, but 90-foot bases, those are a little tougher.
Yeah, especially when you're running like at Walker, like uphill. Oh gosh,
I'll tell you, some of the fields at Gettysburg are that way. You know, you're running uphill, then running downhill.
I always was afraid that I was going to be so happy running downhill, I was just going to derf it over myself, be like with my hands in the air, just so feeling the breeze. Oh, look at this. I don't have to put as much effort into it. And I was always afraid of embarrassing myself. I did in other ways, but not with the running.
Yeah, it's a tough field. It's definitely a tough field.
That's a great field. I haven't played on that in years. I love that field.
It is. It's, you know, definitely a historical field as well. So it's nice to play on. It's just very, very challenging.
The only thing I don't like about that field is how close down the third baseline, you know, shrubbery and weeds and all that stuff, the forest. I don't like how close the forest is because you lose a lot of balls. And it sucks a lot of time out during the game, everybody looking for the ball.
Right. Fortunately for me, I don't hit that way very often.
Yeah, speaking of hitting up the middle, somebody wants to know why you shoot the ball up the middle on a woman in rec ball.
I still have yet to live this one down. get brought up quite frequently. To be fair, and I should have known better because I can control usually where I hit, but she pitched me a inside out with a curve ball, and it, since I go to right field most of the time, it went back up and drilled her in the leg.
So you got a girl in the rec league throwing curve balls so she can handle herself. So it's not like she's defenseless, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, on this one, she definitely was defenseless. It probably didn't get more than a foot off the ground and just a laser right at her leg.
And you shoot the middle a lot, do you, Johnny?
I've been told that by a lot of people, that I end up hitting the middle a little too much.
But you don't mean it. Most of the time, right?
Yeah, I would say 75% of the time I don't mean it.
How bad do you feel after you do it now? Because now you have this small reputation of going up the middle, and now you're like, oh, geez, now I'm just feeding into it.
Yeah, you know, and I've hit some of my favorite players. You know, I've hit Pops, I've hit Surge. I've hit quite a few people. That's not my intention by any means. Yeah, I got a little reputation of, you know, hitting up the middle. So,
take this opportunity right now to go ahead and give a shout out to your favorite vintage baseball players.
Oh man. So Dirtbag is one of them. Hands down, great dude on and off the field. I actually got to play with them also in Gettysburg, the Addison Mountain Stars. Nettie, his wife, is hands down one of my favorite players. She is probably one of the top catchers that I don't think she gets as much credit for. The way she plays catcher for you know, a girl coming into, you know, you don't see a lot of girls in the vintage baseball, but she can handle herself, and she hits well as well.
Oh, yeah, she hits well. She makes me feel less of a man every time I play with her. In fact, we played against Addison at the Akron Cup a few weeks ago, and I wouldn't even acknowledge her because I'm like, I don't even want to pay attention to what she's doing. She just makes me feel bad.
Yes, and she's a great catcher.
Absolutely.
You know, you know, I got to play with them at Gettysburg, and she actually threw some guys out too.
Yeah, it makes me sad. Not that she's good. She's just better than me. And as a man, that's hard to, I can say it. So, you know, I'm not like a sexist. She's better than me, but it hurts. It hurts deep inside, Johnny.
Yeah. She's better than a lot of guys out there. I mean, she holds her own. Then, you know, Ian Kidd, you know, Francis, he's one of the elite guys, I think, in the vintage. Not only does he smash the ball, he's just a great stand-up dude. You know, his family has been in the game for, I don't even know how long, but I know it's been a very, very long time. And he's definitely been a great mentor to the game, to me. You know, 2 years ago, because last year, you know, a lot of things got canceled. But 2 years ago, me and him used to talk on a weekly basis. And he's been a great, great guy to learn from. So he's definitely up there. And then I know a lot of people don't want me to say this, Silverback. Marvel is one of my favorite people to watch.
Well, he's got that reputation for a reason, so it's hard to not say it. On and off the field, just a good dude. And
yes, hands down, great dude. Plays the game, you know, hard, and I guess I respect that a lot more. You know, guys that give it their all the time, and that guy just no matter what team he's on. He's giving it his all every single time.
Well, whenever he gets involved in something, he's giving it his all, or he's not getting involved in it. And,
right.
So I that's the number one attribute of Marbles that I love is no matter what, like that haunt that he does. I got to go to that this year.
Well, let's make a trip. We'll go together.
We'll go together. We'll meet down there. Go together. Yes, because you know, when baseball season's winding down, the fire in his eyes gets burning intensely for him to go and scare people. And he's like, I got no time for anything else. I'm working on this.
Right. Right. Yeah. He's definitely into it. You know, he puts his time and effort into that. Definitely.
Who are some of the players that you you met on at Gettysburg recently? That
So I'm horrible at nicknames. I met some people from Kennebec that were we had a couple beers with afterwards with Addison Mountain Stars. I played with them the last day. I played their two games with them. We met some people from Kennebec that were just good dudes. You know, they told us, you know, that they actually play overhand and have invited us to play with them a overhand game, which would be definitely interesting to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that like is that like the beginning of the overhand game they're talking about?
I would believe so. You know, he just said that they actually play overhand, and that'd be definitely an interesting time to play. And then the guy from the Grays, Providence Grays, he's a little shorter dude. I can say that because I'm short. He is the captain, and man, he made it a blast. The guy is hilarious. I wish I could remember his nickname, but absolute fun blast to play Providence Grays. He made it definitely fun to play.
You, when you go out there and you meet teams from so far away, boy, you just start thinking about how you just love to get them on your schedule next year, but you're like, oh my God, they're so far away.
Yeah. It's definitely, I know we did talk about, we talked to, you know, Dirtbag and stuff, and we have something in the works possibly for next year to go out there and meet kind of halfway in the middle and try and get teams from, you know, afar, that like the Rhode Islands and stuff like that, to meet maybe in Pennsylvania and kind of do a, you know, a multi-team match out there for a weekend.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Providence Grays roster right here. So I'm going to be able to come across the president of the team is John Henson, and he plays second base. And the vice president is, and the captain of the team is Brian Travers.
Okay.
And he was he's a wrong-hander. Does that sound like who it was?
That sounds like who it was.
So Brian Travers of the Providence Grays. I'm going to try to get him on the show.
Sounds good. He, absolute riot. The guy is a funny dude. And, you know, anytime you have, you know, entertainment inside the game, it just makes it for, you know, a lot funner match.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Tom Duffy, we get to play Elkton, and Tom Duffy's the same way. Oh, man, that guy just, he knows how to throw you off your game in a way, because he makes you laugh so much and, you know, throws your game off a little bit.
So it wouldn't affect me. Tom Duffy, I'm writing that one down too. Hey, tell
Schoolboy, nickname.
Johnny, tell me about your daughter.
I have a 4-year-old daughter, Kensley. She actually got her name from my favorite baseball player, Ian Kinsler, former Tiger. But
wait. Stop the show. Did you just say your favorite player was Ian Kinsler?
Yes.
Oh, Johnny. I hate Ian Kinsler with a passion that burns deep inside of me. Please, we will get back to your daughter, but explain to me how you can like this guy who completely falls asleep on the bases all the time.
I thought he was a very good defensive player. And that was just, I liked him, you know, his defense, even when he was with the Rangers. I just liked the way that he played defense.
He does play decent defense.
I think above decent.
He does play good defense. I will not argue with you on that. However, the dude gets picked off first base because he's not paying attention all the time. All the time.
You have those players that you like, you know, and I really like him.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong. there's some players that do, but he's a good hitter.
Yeah, he was a decent hitter, too. I'm not doubting all of his attributes. Not a single one, except for his passion, because the dude fell asleep on the bases all the time.
Well, you know, as a Tiger, you know, and this is one that I'll probably get ridiculed now for years to come. I'm actually not a Cabrera fan.
Wow, what in the hell is going on here? Miguel Cabrera is like the smartest baseball player I've ever seen in my life.
I just feel like he's in the later years, you know, when he first got there, yes, great, whatever. I just feel like he's very lazy for as much talent as the guy has.
He does look a little lazy. Yeah, he does. He does give off that vibe of not trying my hardest. Kind of thing. Yeah, I can't argue.
I just feel like he was real lazy.
But I will say, smartest baseball player I've ever seen.
You know, great baseball player, probably one of the greatest hitters around. But I guess I like both sides of the field, you know, defensively too. And So growing up, obviously Ken Griffey Jr. was my favorite player. As probably a lot of people, he was the guy was phenomenal in the outfield.
Oh, yeah. He did it all. I was shocked to see him look like an old man at the home run derby this last time. I was like, what happened? Where's the backwards hat? Where's the...
Right.
You got old.
You know, you mean the kid, you know?
Yes.
Not the kid anymore.
All right, back to Kensley. Tell me about Kensley.
So she is four. I've actually had her hitting off a tee since two. So she will, whether or not she has a choice, she will be playing softball one day or not. She will be, in fact, her tensions were to get her into T-ball to start. And so she will be playing that next year. And so she plays with my dad as well. You know, she knows baseball, let's just say. So anytime she sees a baseball on my shirt, she says, that's a baseball shirt, you know. So she knows baseball already.
So are you going to push her like your dad pushed you? Are you going to chase her out of the game?
I'm not going to chase her out of the game per se, but she doesn't really have an option to not play. Let's just say that. She's going to try it. I always said, you know, I always have my kid try it. If they don't like it, that's fine. But
oh my God,
you're gonna at least try it.
I tried to parent with that very same philosophy, my two boys, and it was always, you're going to try it. You don't have to like it. And you don't have to try it again if you don't. But you've got to try a bunch of different things because that's how you're going to find something that you just totally attach yourself to and you have with you for the rest of your life. And they fought me all the time on that. So good job, boys, you fuckers.
So, well, her mother was actually All-State softball player at Huron and played in college. So, you know, with her being a big softball player, me being a big baseball player, my dad, you know, being a big baseball guy as well, somewhere she's got to fall in love with it, you know, between one of us.
Well, it's in her genes, apparently. So you're probably all right. What's Kensley's favorite color?
So her favorite color right now is definitely pink and purple.
Oh, no, you can only pick one. Tell her she can only pick one. You can't. You have to have a favorite. The rest, you can like other colors, but you have to have a favorite.
I'd say she's more on a purple kick right now.
Nothing wrong with purple. Everybody loves Prince, and that's where that comes from. You know, before we go, we still got time, but I wanted to make sure we got to some stuff. Tell me about your New Orleans Saints fandom and why now you're going to be miserable for the next 10 years.
So my favorite player, hands down, is Drew Brees. I think people always harass me about Drew Brees, but I think he's very under. He's not as now, but I thought he's underrated, to be honest, for what the guy's achieved in his career. I think that he wasn't as hyped up as some of the others, but I think Drew Brees was hands down one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. And I'm more of a guy, you know, that really appreciates players that do stuff on and off the field, you know, how you carry yourself. And the guy's never been in trouble. Always gives back to the community, 100%. And those are the kind of players that I really fall in love with is, you know, like a Curtis Gray interested in a baseball, always giving back to the community and everything else. Those are the players that I more respect and grow to like. But I grew in love with the Saints when I was younger. I actually went to New Orleans for a event and got to go into the Superdome and experience it and everything else. And that was the beginning love of New Orleans.
Have you gone back?
I went back one time. After that, I would like to go more, but I travel a lot. So, unfortunately, I would like to go back again, but there's so many other things I would love to go see.
Well, you've been to 47 states. So, other than Alaska and Hawaii, those are obviously two of them that you haven't been to. What are the other two states?
So I actually don't consider a state unless you stop and do something there. So Utah is one of them that I've been through it, but I've never stopped and done something there.
Sure.
So I you know, have never actually got to experience Utah. So I actually did get a knock off another state this year. I actually didn't know how close you were to Maryland when you're in Gettysburg. And I didn't realize we drove through it the last time we were out there. So this year we made a pit stop and did something in Maryland. So I just got to experience that and knock off another state. So I've been very fortunate to travel, and that started when I was real young.
What would you say your favorite state to travel to is?
Hands down, I said this when my daughter graduates, I will live in Colorado.
Oh. You've already got the graduation plan. <You're> 14 years, you're in Colorado.
It's one of the most beautiful states that there is. The air is so much cleaner. Obviously, you know, Michigan, we're a big factory state, so the air quality is not that great, but there's so much to do in Colorado. The downtown life is amazing as well, and it happens to have my best beer that I think is the best beer in the state, so in Colorado, which is Coors.
Well, they have Coors in every state, Johnny.
Yeah, but that's where the brewery is.
You know,
Golden, Colorado.
They're not American owned anymore, Johnny. You know that the vintage baseball scene out in Colorado, they have snakes in the outfield. Are you aware of this?
So, you know, that's when I become a snake hunter.
I doubt it. That's not how that's going to go. Tell me about your dog.
So I have a dog named Rocky. It's a husky. I actually had a dog before, at my parents. I had a husky as well before, it died in a house fire. We actually had a house fire and, we lost a couple dogs actually. And I said I would never own another dog again. And then, unfortunately, almost 8 years ago now, my brother passed away and his favorite animal was a wolf. And so the closest thing to a wolf is, you know, a husky. And I said, I'd never own another dog, never own another dog because I didn't want to get attached, you know. And so my ex, she's animal control officer for Brownstown and had a husky come in that was abused and everything else. And when I bought my house in Riverview, I said, well, I'll think about a dog. And I already had a name picked out, Rocky, for it. Had to be a husky. So she ends up taking my daughter up there to play around with this dog. And, you know, tells me to come up. And I'm playing around with the dog and doing great with my daughter and very playful. And I said, well, what's his name? And she said, Rocky. And I said, well, I guess what's meant to be is what's meant to be. And, he ended up coming home with me that day.
Huskies, what's the hair situation at your place?
Oh, my God. If I was to tell you that, oh, man. Hairball city.
Yeah.
So they take a lot of work, a lot of grooming. You know, no matter how much you brush them, you come home the next day and there's still a big ball of hair all over the place. Which I'm very grateful for having wood floors.
Yes. Oh my God, that makes it so much easier. You need one of those.
I actually have one of those Swiffer wet jets.
Oh yeah, Swiffer wet jet. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I always so. my wife has one of these Swiffer things that sprays.
Yep.
Sprays it and cleans up. That's not the same thing, right?
Yes, that is.
Oh, okay. So I actually did a very husbandy thing a couple of weeks ago and cleaned up a little puddle of dog pee with it. And she's like, "What the hell are you doing? Like, I got to go and get a new pad now from the store." I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
In retrospect, that was dumb. Oh well.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny. Now it's time to play everybody's favorite game show. It's time to give you the old pepper. If you've listened to episodes, and Johnny, you say you have, what was your favorite episode so far?
One that made me laugh a lot was with Marble.
Oh, that's the first one. So I went downhill from there. Thanks.
definitely made me laugh. The dude's funny. I mean, no hands down about it. The guy is funny as heck.
All right, so I don't even know if I was given the old pepper back in the first episode. Here we go. Simple answers to simple questions. Johnny, what is your favorite sandwich?
Peanut butter and jelly.
What is your Mount Rushmore of favorite Detroit Tiger players?
Oh, man. Lance Parrish, Lou Whitaker, Ian Kinsler. and Iglesias.
What historical figure would you like to meet?
George Washington.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
The most beautiful place you've ever been?
Colorado.
What is your favorite Olympic sport to watch?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't have one.
What was your favorite toy when you were growing up?
Stretch Armstrong.
Name an overrated current Major League Baseball player.
Oh. Man, that's a... I'm gonna get a lot of grief for this one, but George Stanton.
Ooh. What is your favorite sports movie?
The Natural.
What is the ugliest color?
Orange.
What is an underrated fruit?
A pear.
What was your first car?
A S10 pickup truck.
What was your first job?
I worked for the city of Rockwood.
Coleslaw or potato salad?
Potato salad.
What is your favorite coin?
Half dollar.
Have you ever eaten one of your dog's biscuits?
No.
Will you actually listen to this?
Yeah.
All right. We did it, Johnny. We Woo-hoo. Did it. How do you feel?
Like a new man.
Yeah. Well, you know, we get to see each other in a couple of weeks.
Oh, looking forward to it.
And you guys... going for redemption, even though you don't really need redemption. You made it to the finals, but making it to the finals.
Well, now we need to seal the deal.
Now you need to seal the deal. Would you prefer to play Canton again in the finals, or does it just not matter to you?
To be honest, I would love to.
That just might happen.
I actually would love to. You know, they're one of the more competitive teams. They're all competitive. Don't get me wrong. But Canton has that threshold of being known as, you know, one of the younger faster, you know, better clubs that are very tough to beat.
Yeah, that speed is you have to plan for it. It's crazy. You know, it's everybody's fast. Is there somebody not fast on Canton?
You know, they all kind of have some speed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, it's crazy to say, but, you know, their outfield is just stupid fast to begin with. You know, when you think you got a hit, it's like, nope, no, you don't.
I mean, if Michigan was a primarily bound state, they'd never give up a run.
Oh, yeah.
It's I don't even want to think about it. Hey, Johnny, thanks for being on the show, brother.
No, thank you.
Haven't talked to you in a while, so this was a treat for me. And I'll tell my daughter what a great guy you are. And we'll see what we can do about that. Are you still single, Johnny? Are you still single?
I am still single.
All right. Well, let's get on that. She's 28 now, so... it's time for her to grow up and be with an older man. So,
hey, my parents are 8 years apart.
See, it can happen. All right, Johnny, stay on the line for me, so I can say goodbye to you properly. As I say goodbye to everybody, what I got coming up here in the very near future is I got Timothy Davis from the Cumberland Baseball Club of Nashville, Shade Tree. I also have Sean Tanner LaRue coming up in a couple of days. And, of course, I always have Paul Hunkley coming up. So that Paul Hunkley interview, we'll get to that. We're still negotiating terms. He'll give in eventually, and we'll do that. Worst comes to worst, I'll interview his wife and just get all the answers from her. All right, take care, everybody.